What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. All of our great ESPN stations across the country. Sirius XM 80, Altitude Radio Network, there, TNT as well. On the highlights, the Celtics and the Nuggets last night. Denver over Boston, 115-109 in a potential finals preview in the NBA. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Evan. Good morning, Smalls. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. And you know it's going to be a good day when Jovante hits us with Outkast to start the show.
No doubt. Well, you know it was a request, right? I was in an Outkast kind of mood. I don't know if you heard me, but I was rapping Outkast on the way into the makeup room.
I don't know why.
It just feels like an Outkast kind of Friday.
Is Evan okay with that? Because he's the one who thinks they're overrated.
Well, there's three members that are on air on this show, so I don't think what he wants matters if the other two are on board with it.
Because you know I am.
There we go.
Well, there's a little bit of a controversy then already. You said you requested it. Jovante said he already had it lined up.
Oh.
It's not a controversy. We were just on the same page.
Well, who gets credit for it?
What's understood ain't got to be said. I mean, Jovante is the one that's playing the music, so I will give him full credit.
Okay.
But I just it sets the right tone for the show that we're going to have. Kind of like Jokic set the tone last night against the Celtics.
115-109, they win, and Boston has now lost two games in a row after winning 11 games in a row. And you saw last night with the Joker, 32, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Jaylen Brown for Boston had 41. And this is one of those moments that you can't sit here and say, okay, well, this means that Denver is going to beat Boston in the finals or that Denver and Boston are going to play in the finals. But that's where we all went mentally yesterday. And I don't know why. I'm trying to put my finger on it, and I think it has a little bit, for me, to do with their nasty and like their toughness a little bit in big moments. For some reason, I know everyone thinks the Celtics are going to win the championship. I just don't think that. I just don't think that for whatever reason, that I think there are going to be teams, whether it's in the Eastern Conference or once they get to the finals, that are going to try to like beat them up a little bit. And there's something weird about Jason Tatum late in games. Like, his numbers are not great in clutch time, yet he's a great player. We know he's a great player.
So you don't think it's a talent issue. You think it's more of a team identity issue or a mentality issue?
Yeah, I think it just feels to me like something is missing with this team. As great as they are, this is not an X's and O's take or anything like that. It's just in a seven-game series when it gets physical and nasty, like against a team like Denver, I would pick Denver.
You just called them soft, mentally and physically.
I'm not saying they're soft.
That's what it sounds like. You're saying that they wilt against teams that are more physical. They wilt in the moment. Jason Tatum, 1 of 5 last night in clutch time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you're
soft
calling them.
Soft is too strong. I will not say soft.
So what are you calling them?
If you present a tough, physical, nasty, hard-nosed team against them, I would say that team could beat them in a seven-game series.
So you're saying they're not tough and hard-nosed, though?
I don't think they're as tough as, like, Milwaukee will be in a seven-game series. I have more faith in Giannis and Chris Middleton in a seven-game series than I do anybody on the Celtics.
But you've seen Giannis get it done. You've seen the Denver Nuggets get it done. So I can understand why you wouldn't be willing to go there with Boston, because last year they were in a position where we thought that they would advance, and they got beat at home in a game seven.
Yep.
So I could understand why you would go there, because we've seen moments where they've come up short. But I don't know if I would think that maybe if they couldn't rise to the level of toughness, though.
Yeah, here's the thing with Boston. I don't think that loss last night is a referendum on what kind of basketball team they are. I think they're still a really, really good basketball team, and I expect them to breeze through the Eastern Conference playoffs. I don't believe in the Bucks. I don't trust that the Knicks are going to be healthy in time. I don't think the Miami Heat have enough firepower. So when I look at the Eastern Conference landscape, I think the Boston Celtics will make a run to the NBA Finals. Now, it's a matter of what they're going to be able to do once they get there, right? Because we're judging Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on their ability to be able to win a championship. Correct. We've already seen them in the NBA Finals. We've seen them in four conference finals. That's not a thing for us. Like, what will tell the tale is how they perform, and based on last night and based on their season series against the Nuggets, which Denver swept, like, it's fair to be skeptical of their prospects of being able to win some hardware this year. I mean, think about it. Out of the West, teams that we think can be real contenders, the Denver Nuggets can be a real contender. I mean, we believe that the L.A. Clippers, if they can stay healthy, can be a real contender.
Yep.
We can't dismiss OKC or Minnesota, even with the Karl-Anthony Towns injury. So, yeah, there are more teams in the Western Conference that we view as contenders. And I think whoever comes out of the West will be battle-hardened in a way that Boston doesn't have the opportunity to be by virtue of the conference that they play in. So, yeah, I don't necessarily trust that the Boston Celtics, even when they get to the NBA Finals, which I'm expecting, that they're going to be able to come through based on what I saw last night. I mean, Jaylen Brown was outstanding, but he was 7-14 from the free throw line. Jason Tatum, he has an opportunity with 45 seconds left for a go-ahead three from the corner. Misses it. And that leads to an alley-oop from Jokic to Aaron Gordon. Like, those types of plays have to happen. I mean, when it comes to the fundamentals with Jaylen Brown making free throws, when it comes to Jason Tatum showing up in the last 5 minutes, you need your best two players to show up in those moments, and those guys came up small.
Yeah, Jason Tatum, I think, in order for the Celtics to win a championship, will have to be better in those clutch situations. I was going through our SIG notes from this game last night, and Jason Tatum only making 31.9% of his shots in the clutch this season, and that clutch percentage has actually declined every season. So I think that's a huge component for the Boston Celtics. He's going to be the guy that's going to have to will them to win.
Yeah, and the other thing that you got to acknowledge with the Celtics last night, their bench got outscored 28-10. That's not great. But when you have the Denver Nuggets with Reggie Jackson and Christian Braun and Justin Holiday, when you've got guys giving you quality minutes off the bench, I mean, it just shows, first of all, it puts your team in a position where you're going to get the best version of your superstar players, but it also allows you to go through a game without these lulls or without these spells where guys, where you allow the opponent to get back into the game. So There's a lot to like with what Boston is, and I'm not trying to discount them, and I love Drew Holiday, the dog that's in him, but when you compare them to the teams that we expect to be there in the end from the Western Conference, I think they measure up short.
If the Denver Nuggets bench is significantly better than the Boston Celtics bench, the Boston Celtics have a problem because that bench is the biggest knock on both of these teams. Because remember, Denver lost some guys off of last year, obviously, with Bruce Brown, who's now by way of Indiana in Toronto, and Jeff Green, who's in Houston. And, like, you're right. Like, that bench was better than Boston's bench last night. Now, the other game that became a big game that had to be really frustrating to somebody sitting to my left here because on his best bets at the end of our show, he took – that's CeCe, of course. He took the Karl-Anthony Towns injury and said, okay, that's awful. That stinks for Karl-Anthony Towns, stinks for the T-Wolves. Probably going to be a lull last night against the Pacers, a one-game kind of sulking, which is completely understandable. Then they start the game – and Anthony Edwards really hurts his ankle. And literally, I'm writing down in my notes, all right, Edwards out and Cat's out. And then I wake up and I'm like, wait, he had 44 points last night. They won the game by two. But here's the thing. Towards the end of this game last night, right at the end, Anthony Edwards had one of the most ridiculous chase down blocks that you'll ever see, or just in general, where he actually hit his head on the rim. And he explained it last night on Bally Sports North.
And we got to start with the way this game ended. That block to close it out looked like you hit your head on the backboard.
Yeah, I hit my head, I think, on the rim. It's hurting real bad. And I landed on my wrist. But, I mean, you know, I saw him with the lane. I knew he was going for the layup. And I was just like, man, I'm finna go get this. I ain't never jumped that high in my life.
He had a game-winning block where he hit his head on the rim and then fell to the ground after that, after already really twisting up his ankle. And he dropped 44 to win. Ant-Man last night, ladies and gentlemen.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's special, man. I mean, listen, I don't want to go there, but I have to. I mean, when it comes to chase down blocks, LeBron James is the gold standard, right? Yeah. In the playoffs, time and score, like the impact that play had and the meaning of it because we're in the postseason. But what Ant-Man did last night on Neesmith, that ain't far off, dog. Like, that is unbelievable. I mean, just when you look at it from a basketball play,
it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's insane.
But it actually comes off impossible, and yet he made it possible.
But that's what I'm saying. And we're talking about this guy having an ankle injury earlier in the game.
Yep.
He turns his ankle early in the first half, and he misses 15 minutes of real time. I'm not sure exactly how much game clock, but guess what? He plays the rest of the game. I mean, he played damn near 39 minutes. Rudy Gobert played damn near 40 minutes.
Gonna have to.
Well, that's my point, though. Like, those guys set the tone for that game. They did. They absolutely did. In a game where you got, right before you got the news, Karl-Anthony Towns was going to be out for at least a month.
Yep.
Your two superstars needed to step up and send a message to not only the rest of the league, but to send a message to the rest of the players in that locker room. Hey, guys, this is what the standard is going to be. We all got to pick our game up because we're going to miss our all-star, our four-time all-star in KAT. And they did. And that, to me, is the most impressive part of it. That is leadership, what we saw from Anthony Edwards last night. That was leadership from what we saw from Rudy Gobert last night. And that's why I don't think people should be so quick to dismiss the Minnesota Timberwolves, not take them seriously as true title contenders.
Doesn't that feel like a team that has championship DNA, that you can overcome something like that and make a statement like that and still prevail? And that it's Anthony Edwards, your star, that's going to be able to make the plays and be the one to carry you to a victory? Evan, like, if we're comparing them to the Boston Celtics, it feels like they have a little bit more of what you're saying that you think maybe the Celtics lack.
Well, not the DNA, but the nasty.
The nasty.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards has the nasty. Like, Anthony Edwards would fight you in the playoffs if he needed to. Physically fight you.
Yeah, like, well, I think Anthony Edwards is capable of being the best defensive player and the best offensive player on the court on any given night.
And there ain't a whole lot. Tatum and Brown should be that.
There ain't a whole lot of guys in the league that can say that. And I don't think it's either guy for the Boston Celtics.
I'm saying they should.
They should.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I don't think they are. I mean, we haven't seen it. Like, confidence comes from demonstrated performance. I haven't seen it from them. I've seen it from Anthony Edwards. I mean, here we go. Hot take alert. If I'm building a basketball team, as good as Jason Tatum is, I'm not sure that I wouldn't take Anthony Edwards first. That's the way this thing is trending for Ant-Man. He's that good. I trust Anthony Edwards in terms of what the potential is once we get into the postseason this year. I know that this guy ain't going to wilt. Now, I don't know about the inexperience of the rest of the team, but I know Anthony Edwards is going to show up every single game. I know that's what this guy does. As a matter of fact, he told us, I want to play in every single game. I don't want to load manage. This is a guy that is an absolute dog. And in terms of that mental toughness that you need to have, especially in the Western Conference, based on where these two teams are at right now, based on where those two players are at right now, give me Anthony Edwards, I'll ride with that, even though he's way more inexperienced than Jason Tatum.
He's got the nasty. Like, my prism is maybe not correct, but I look through it as, like, a Heat fan of who would they want. What kind of – what you said he's got the dog in him. Is that what you said?
He's a dog.
I mean,
literally and figuratively.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that's right.
That was so corny and cheesy that I'm now mad that I didn't say it. So I have nothing else to say because I have to finish on a corny and cheesy note. Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. Coming up, has Russell Wilson found a home? We'll find out next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hold on, Ev, you gotta answer this question for me. Before we get into Russ in the NFL, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, right now, you're starting the team. Who you taking?
Tatum is more advanced player, but I would take Edwards because there is an argument that have I seen maybe the best years of Tatum as the best player on a championship caliber team, and it hasn't resulted in a title.
Already at 26.
No, I'm saying, is it possible? In other words, if Boston doesn't win a title this year, what happens? Mazzulla's going to get fired.
Oh, no doubt.
Jaylen Brown may get traded.
Probably.
So I don't know what that looks like moving forward. Now I'm looking at the advancement of this, and Karl Anthony Towns, to his credit, told us something without really saying anything. Karl Anthony Towns was the franchise for Minnesota. He was their guy. He has given no resistance to handing that franchise to Anthony Edwards. Karl Anthony Towns was the number one overall pick in the draft, and everybody was wondering about what's going to happen now when Edwards is this good. And I think Kat's like, all right, I get it. Like, I'm good. And that's kudos to Karl Anthony Towns for that, too.
Does what's happening now make you think differently about the trade that the Timberwolves made once upon a time with the Utah Jazz and all the first-round picks for Rudy Gobert?
I never have an issue with giving up first-round picks as long as I can get them back. Mm-hmm. It's who you're giving it up for. I would not have done it for Rudy Gobert. But the reason I didn't...
And he's going to win another Defensive Player of the Year,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, but the reason that I didn't crush...
another one.
The reason
another
I didn't one. Crush Minnesota for that trade in terms of the valuation... Is at any given point they could get five first-rounders back by trading Anthony Edwards? You shouldn't, but they can get those picks back.
Yeah.
You should never give up picks if you don't have a way of getting them back. And that's the like, look at Denver with Russ, right, to tie it full circle. You give up all these picks to get Russ. How are you getting it back? You got nobody to get it back. There's not a player on that team that could garner, right? Who would?
Maybe Patrick Surtain Jr. Maybe.
Two to three for all the picks?
I would say maybe two first-round picks. Maybe.
Right? And that's the point. When you're making a trade where you give up a ton of picks,
yeah.
Just always make sure if it doesn't work out, you have a way of getting them back.
That's fair.
So anyway, with Russ. So this, I got to be honest, I was pleasantly surprised by the reporting that came out yesterday. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette put out there that Russell Wilson and the Steelers have mutual interest and they are planning on tentatively meeting right at the start of free agency. For all of those people, which I think there's like two of us, me and Ciara, that are Russell Wilson fans right now, this is unbelievable validation that he still has an ounce of value if Mike Tomlin is saying, yeah, I would like to meet with you as soon as possible.
Well, at that price point, why wouldn't you?
Well, you wrote him off. Everybody's writing him off.
Sure, but we're leading with the cost. And he's a much more affordable option than any other free agent quarterback on the market. So if I'm Pittsburgh, why wouldn't, and I need a quarterback, or at least I might want to add another quarterback to that room for a competition, why wouldn't I have a look at Russell Wilson? Why wouldn't I sit down and have a conversation with him and see if he'd be a fit?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes all the sense in the world to me. And like you said, Smalls, the cost is what brings the value, not necessarily the production.
Right.
Even though he wasn't bad last year, I don't think we can call Russell Wilson good. He was an average NFL quarterback. When you look at the QBR that Russ had last year relative to everybody else, he was 21st in the NFL. So that is the definition of average. Now, he's a professional quarterback. He will give you competent quarterback play. And at its worst, he provides a pace car for Kenny Pickett in terms of a bar to clear to prove that the Pittsburgh Steelers made the right choice when they took him with a first-round draft pick a few years ago. So I don't think there's a real downside to Pittsburgh going down this road because it doesn't cost them a whole lot of money and because they have another option or potential option in the building if Russ is washed in Kenny Pickett.
So, CeCe, you've been around the game forever. You played 11 years. You've been analyzing it since. Give us the translation of what it means, assuming this reporting is true, that when a player like Russ is meeting with the Steelers right as free agency begins, should we sit here and assume in pen, which we're doing the QB musical chairs, Russell Wilson Steelers?
Yeah, if they're making that decision to meet that early in free agency and knowing that it's probably going to be a vet minimum deal, you should go ahead and put that in pen.
Because there's no gray area. They're not debating contracts. They know what he's making prior to arrival.
There's no negotiation. What you're sitting down for is to see whether or not it's going to be a fit personality-wise. Can we bring this guy into our organization? Can we bring him into our locker room? Are we going to have to worry about some of the things that we heard behind the scenes with the Legion of Boom? Are we going to have to worry about the sense of entitlement that he showed early on in Denver? Or are we past that? Now, the fact that Russell Wilson is willing to sit down with them, knowing that there's an incumbent in Kenny Pickett that they used the first-round draft pick on, shows a level of self-awareness that I'm not sure that he had. I'm not sure that other people around the NFL thought he had. Damian Woody sat with us yesterday and said, we're going to find out if Russell Wilson loves football. because of what he's going to get paid by his next team, but then also the situation that he's stepping into, knowing that no team is going to hand him the keys to the franchise. If he's willing to accept the job under those terms, then there is some hope that Russell Wilson can salvage the twilight of his career and actually give a team an opportunity to compete for the playoffs once again.
Well, it is smart for him to take that approach, because if he's properly surveying the landscape, he's probably realizing that he doesn't have as many options as he probably thought he would at the outset. So if he has to go in and compete with somebody or has to go in and prove himself, he needs to take that wholeheartedly, because there are only so many chairs left and he wants to make sure he's sitting on one before the music ends.
Can I counter that with one idea?
Yes.
Is there a thought process, if you're him, Russell Wilson, that two things can happen to kind of show everybody, or show Michelle Smallman and others that believe this, you know what, you may not be right about that. Here are the two things. Mike Tomlin vouched for me. Don't tell me I can't fit in anymore, right? That's a huge person. Like, that's a great reference. Yeah, if he goes there. Right. If it ends up there and he works out well, like you're doing the resume and you're putting your references and Mike Tomlin.
Honestly.
That's a good one.
That definitely would change my mind.
The second thing is, he may look at it and say, there's no long-term option for me upon arrival anywhere right now.
No.
But if I'm good in Pittsburgh, maybe it is a long-term option. Because it's not like they're going to say, no, we got to keep Kenny Pickett instead of Russell Wilson. He may have a 3-year window, let's say, as the starting quarterback there, if he's good and if he's got that relationship with Tomlin. I mean, I think, like, this is no joke of a meeting, right? This is Mike freaking Tomlin, right? In my head, how this works, and I have no idea if this is true, it's just the two of them in a room. No agents, no other representatives, mano a mano of Mike Tomlin saying to Russell Wilson, here's how we operate. You're in or you're out.
Well, that is a high-stake meeting for Russell Wilson. Because if Mike Tomlin says we out, then what does that say about Russ?
Well, that's the other side of it.
Like that's the flip side of it.
You went there and then didn't get the deal.
Ooh. Yeah, you went there. We're not going to sign you. We don't think you're a fit, even for $1 million.
Ooh.
Right, because then the other teams are like, wait a minute, if Mike Tomlin doesn't want him, what are we missing?
Well, the inverse of what you said has to be true, right?
Yes, I would think so.
If he goes there and Pittsburgh signs him, Tomlin gives him the stamp of approval, then all of a sudden it changes the perception of Russ around the league.
No doubt.
But if they don't sign him, then it only validates what everybody else is already thinking.
That's correct.
No doubt. And maybe even more so, especially if Mike Tomlin says no to you at that price point,
Yeah. Knowing
that they need to add another quarterback to that room potentially.
We're desert thirsty for a quarterback other than Kenny Pickett. We tried with Mitch Trubisky. We tried with Mason Rudolph. We just want to bring in somebody. And yet we might be cool on you, Russell Wilson, at $1 million.
Ooh, that would be such an indictment
on
him.
All of that said, as we sit here today, again, this could change by the minute. Russell Wilson's going to be on what team next year?
I'm still holding out hope that Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh, but it feels as if it's going to be Russell Wilson to the Steelers.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
That's where I'm going. Pittsburgh. This happening before it starts, that tells you they want to get this done both ways. You brought up Justin Fields. There may be an entirely new category of options for Justin Fields. We've talked about all these job openings. There is one former GM who's suggesting he goes somewhere that does not have an opening. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Little season, little Kim?
True.
Okay. There you go, Smalls. I like it. Wow. So we have had so many conversations about quarterbacks on our show. And Justin Fields, like, at some point we're closing in on when they're going to trade him in Chicago. I got the impression, and I know he never actually said it this way, that Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, was going to try to trade Justin Fields, assuming they made the decision to draft Caleb Williams, before free agency. Now, you can determine when free agency starts, either Monday or Wednesday, but It's kind of Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
The legal tampering period. So we're closing in on when that actually should happen. And we've been talking this entire time about Atlanta and Pittsburgh, maybe Minnesota if Cousins leaves, the Raiders, and all of these teams that have legit QB openings at QB1. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, has a podcast, The GM Shuffle, and he gave an interesting suggestion for Justin Fields.
There is, seems to be not a lot of momentum. I mean, we saw that video that moved the market, Femi, of him jumping up and down. Everybody said, well, that must be Atlanta's involved. But I talked to a lot of people that were at the combine, and I can't find a team. If I were Philly, I would trade for him. Because I think if you put him behind Hurts and run the six-back offense with him, he might go in there and play good.
Okay, couple of things. First of all, CeCe, quickly explain the what is the six-back offense? What does that mean?
It's basically using your quarterback as a runner.
Got it. Okay.
That's what it is.
We have not really done a deep dive on Justin Fields having, let's call it a gap year, mm-hmm. a year of graduate school, right? You're sitting behind Mahomes for a year. You're sitting behind, Nuno has thrown out there, our producer, Matthew Stafford in L.A. for a year.
Interesting. That's a good
Is
one.
There a gap year thought process? Now, if there's no market and the Bears are just like, we can't have this go into free agency. We don't want to be asked about this. We don't want to think about this. And if one of the good teams with established quarterbacks is like, well, sure, we'll take a flyer on them. Is there a Justin Fields gap year?
It could be. It just reminds me of the Mitch Trubisky career track.
I thought
it's
the
eerily
same thing.
Similar, right?
I thought the same thing.
A failed first round draft pick by the Chicago Bears going the way of a backup quarterback and seeing if he can resurrect his career somewhere else. I mean, sure, I guess it makes sense. If you're Justin, that's probably the best thing to do for you, like to take a step back and reset. But I do think there's going to be an opportunity for him to be a starter going into week one next year. And now teams haven't emerged yet because everybody is waiting for that Justin Fields trade on a discount. Mm-hmm. It's the worst kept secret in the NFL that the Chicago Bears have to move off of Justin Fields because they're taking a quarterback with the number one overall pick. And so the Bears brass put it out there before the combine that we think we can get a first round draft pick for Justin Fields, and we don't know what we're going to do, whether we're going to trade out a number one and try to build around Justin Fields. They were trying to build up the market for Justin Fields, mm-hmm. but nobody in the NFL bought their bluff. Nobody's buying it. And so while we're just waiting for the inevitability of the asking price from the Bears to go down, maybe they were at a one. Now they're probably going to be at a day two pick, whether it's a second round pick or a third round pick plus. It'll be somewhere in that range. But I expect that there will be a team that's trading for Justin Fields, and he will be a top priority for them this offseason.
So you think he's going to be a starter? Day one next year of the NFL season, you think Justin Fields will be a starting quarterback?
Yes.
But you also just said, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. You also just said, I think, the gap year for Justin Fields' life and career probably makes more sense.
Yes.
That if you could go, and let's play out hypotheticals. Let's say Kirk Cousins goes back to Minnesota. So if you are Justin Fields, you could go to Atlanta to be the starter or Kansas City to be the backup. What's better for his career long term?
Come on, man. You know the answer to that.
No, I actually don't.
You do. Going to Kansas City to sit behind Patrick Mahomes and learn from Andy Reid?
But you have zero chance of your fifth-year option being picked up. In Atlanta, you would.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I guess my whole point with Justin Fields is there are some bad habits that he picked up in Chicago that he needs to unlearn. Like being able to...
Kansas City may be a bad example because Matt Nagy's there, which is funny.
That's hilarious. But yeah, but you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. There are some bad habits in Chicago that he picked up because he didn't have the requisite supporting cast to have success early on in his career. Like there are just some things that he has to be better at. Pocket awareness has to be better. Understanding when to protect himself when he does take off and run the football has to be better. His ability to be able to go through his progression has to be better. Those are things that he has to improve on. Mm-hmm. So sitting behind a veteran quarterback with an experienced head coach would probably be the best thing for him to actually get that reset and find a way to be able to marry his football acumen, his knowledge base, with his raw ability. And so even though Atlanta might seem like a better fit right now, I don't know that Justin Fields will have the opportunity to be able to progress in the way that he would need to in order to have longevity in his career.
As we are getting closer to some of these deals getting done, or we at least think that things are firming up a little bit on the quarterback market, it does seem like he has fewer options. That market for him is narrowing, so maybe this is a good option for him. But I wonder, and CeCe, tell me if I'm on the right path here, if taking that gap year would mess with him mentally more than help him as he sits behind somebody and takes a breath and learns. Like, can that disrupt you as a starting quarterback in this league where you were the guy, or at least deemed to be the guy in Chicago, and then you have to take such a step back?
Well, I mean, I don't know that that is any tougher mentally than knowing that the team that drafted you with a first-round pick a few years ago is trying to replace you. You know, so I mean, I don't know that that's the case. I guess my whole point with Justin Fields is you want to start, you want to play. That's every competitor. Mm-hmm. But just looking at it outside in, I think there are a lot of things that Justin Fields can learn. There's a lot of benefits to sitting behind a guy that is doing it at a really high level. Now, again, I do think there's a team that's out there that's going to trade for him, a team that's going to prioritize Justin Fields as their QB1 this offseason. What we're experiencing now is, you know, the art of the deal, the negotiation that happens between these teams that are trying to get that asking price for Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears to go down. Because, like Evan said, if a team does trade a premium pick for him, a first or second round pick, you're going to exercise this fifth-year option.
You have to.
So it ends up being a sliding scale. If I'm going to pay the player on top of trading compensation, the compensation going back to the team that has him is not going to be as high. So I think that's where we're at right now with Justin Fields. And why it's quiet is because behind the scenes, I think that team or those teams that are angling for Fields are waiting for the Chicago Bears to be more reasonable with what they're asking for.
So not if you're his agent, because we know the agent is going to want to get him to a place to make the most long term. But if you're his best friend, right? Justin Fields comes to you, Chris Canty, former NFL player. You guys are close. You're his mentor. You're not worrying about his current wallet. You're worrying about his long-term wallet and his long-term life and health, etc. You're saying to him, have your agent call Philly, the Rams, Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, any team that can give you the on-the-job training for a year and then go back in the market the next year. That's what the advice you'd give him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the advice that I would give him. Now, I'd be hard-pressed to say that going back home to Atlanta wouldn't be the best thing for him. I'd be hard-pressed to say that. You know, another place that would be like splitting the baby for Justin Fields would give you a veteran quarterback that's already in place that doesn't provide pressure for you to play right away, an organization that's buttoned up, that does things the right way. Even though you have a new head coach, I still think it would be a great place for him to land. Seattle Seahawks. We've heard rumors about the Seattle Seahawks wanting to move up into the top 10 to draft a quarterback. I mean, they've already got Geno Smith, the incumbent there. They're trying to figure out what they're doing long-term at the quarterback position. If they can't move up to get one of the big three, get a quarterback that they love early on in this draft, why not go with Justin Fields?
I love that.
Yeah, so now we're at that place of teams recognizing, let's call it by Monday, if nobody wants him, and we're going to give up a fourth rounder or a third, let's call it a third. Let's say the price dropped.
Third rounder.
Like, there has to be that moment where a general manager's like, I guess if nobody wants him, we'll swoop in. We're not going to pick up the fifth-year option, but sure, we'll give a third rounder. Like, I'll add to that, right? That's a good one. I'll add Dallas. I'll add Miami. I'll give you a crazy one. What about Cleveland? Guys, teams that have incumbent starters, but you kind of have that little tiny question in the back of your mind about them. And if they're like, all right, for a third, we'll take a flyer on them.
Well, Dallas just did that, though, with Trey Lance,
right?
And Cleveland, you can't add any more.
I understand. I'm just throwing it out there.
If we're worried about Joe Flacco coming back, I don't think Justin Fields is the right answer.
That ain't it.
Now, I wouldn't want to do this to the young man, but I do want to present another team. What about the New York Jets?
See, now that would be a very smart thing by the Jets. So I assume they wouldn't do it.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick?
Yeah.
What do you think's more likely for Justin Fields? He becomes Mitch Trubisky or Baker Mayfield?
Well, based on everything we're talking about right now, it would sound like Mitch Trubisky, right? That he has the gap year, maybe someone gives him a chance to be a starter, and he looks the same as he did in Chicago, which is not very good.
Well, here's the thing about Baker Mayfield. We saw more success early on in his career, right? Baker Mayfield,
rookie
year, he set the rookie touchdown record for passing touchdowns. And then he won a playoff game, I think it was in year three, in Kevin Stefanski's first season. He won a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, I mean, he's had more proof of concept earlier on in his career. So I guess you'd kind of have to say Mitch Trubisky, although I do think there are a lot more tools to work with terms of natural ability for Justin than we saw with Trubisky.
You ain't kidding. Look at the first 3 years. Now, Baker's second year was terrible, but just go touchdown interception ratio. Year one, 27 of 14. For a rookie, that's excellent.
That's outstanding.
Year two was a disaster, 22 and 21. Year three, that would be, I would assume, Stefanski's first year. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Same numbers as Russell Wilson, ironically, this year. Yeah, so that's significantly better than
the most passing touchdowns we've seen from Justin Fields was what, 17 passing touchdowns?
Yeah, not close. Like Fields is that's the dirty little secret with all of this is he hasn't been that good. Right? There's a reason they're comfortable moving on from him, but it's Chicago, it's a starting quarterback, it's a top pick in the draft, and so we're all excited about the next step for this guy.
And we've seen glimpses of his potential.
That's what I was about to say. We've seen Justin Fields show out. Like the game that he played in Detroit, Justin Fields was phenomenal.
You've seen moments where like,
he threw for over
intrigued.
200 yards, he ran for over 100 yards. Like he's got those wow plays that make you think, if somebody could harness this, you could have something really, really special. Really special.
I guess, could be consistent.
I guess that's why I asked the question, because Baker Mayfield just had a better team around him in Cleveland, right? And then we see him with the Panthers, and he was terrible. And then we see him again with the Bucks, and he's really good again. So I guess if Justin Fields goes to a good team, I think he could be pretty good.
Right, Pat, that's the argument, is that we actually the Justin Fields conversation is almost incomplete because we've never seen him with talent around him. They had some talent.
They had talent on offense, man.
They didn't have the talent that Baker had.
They had Cole Kmet. Their offensive line wasn't as bad as the sacks would lead you to believe. Like, there was talent there. Not to mention they had a really good defense. They had the best defense in the second half in the NFL of anybody.
But here's where we go with this, just to kind of close this conversation for now on Justin Fields. If he's traded by Monday, what we have just told you and what CC has said in terms of advising him is don't be surprised if he's traded to a team that has a great quarterback and he has a gap year. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, Smalls.
Yes.
Per sources close to me.
Uh-oh.
There's something going on with somebody Smalls knows that becomes a huge red flag for you with this person?
Well,
or heard about?
After the show yesterday, we were talking about red flags in people, social red flags in people, and things that you've observed about someone that made you kind of raise your eyebrow and then kind of provided a preview into them maybe being a little bit of a suspect person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So let me throw this one out to you guys. Mm-hmm. I met someone once who shared that they were in their mid-30s, which I think is an important component of this, in their mid-30s, had never been invited to a wedding before.
Wow. That's a little strange.
In your mid-30s, it's kind of hard not to fall into a wedding invite.
Yeah.
Family, friends, coworkers, somebody you know from some activity.
I mean, even as a kid, you're invited to weddings, right? Like you're ring bearer or flower girl. Like you've never been invited to a wedding?
And that,
like a cousin?
Nothing. Right? This person said they had never been invited to a wedding, and that to me was a big red flag that turned out to be a preview of someone not being such a great person.
So your friends don't like you, your family doesn't like you. We're not going to have you around for the most, I guess, one of the occasions where it seems like everybody is invited to be around.
And at every wedding, there's a B list. There's the A list can't make it, so you're going to get promoted.
You got to have the C fillers, absolutely.
You didn't even get a promotion.
That is wild.
I don't want to get too morbid, but did they have family?
I think so.
Oh, then that's weird.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying if there was somebody that like has no family, they're on their own or whatever it is. Okay, maybe they're just their life is a little different, and that's okay. But yeah, not being invited to a wedding in the 30s is.
I mean, even coworkers invite you to weddings, though.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing.
I've been invited to many coworkers' weddings.
That's what I'm saying.
And went and loved it.
That is odd.
Nuno, controversially, was invited to a coworker wedding once.
What does that mean, controversially?
What do you mean?
Or not invited, no, I mean, sorry.
No, stop. All right, so.
I went to that wedding.
So, uh-oh. Yes, that was the Steve Cerruti wedding.
Yeah, one of our dear friends, Steve and Maddie Cerruti.
Yes, and certain people, just being the way they were, made a big deal. We were working together. We maybe were working together like 6 months at that point. And I wasn't invited to the wedding. I wasn't expected to be invited to the wedding because we had just started working together. They made this guy, poor guy, feel like he was just a horrible human being.
He felt awful.
Yeah, because he didn't invite me to a wedding. But I don't expect Javonte, if he ever gets married, to invite me to a wedding, at least right now. Pat, who knows what the hell is going to happen, but I'm just saying.
I didn't get invited to a wedding of a former coworker, and a bunch of people I work with did, and I'm still mad about it.
Was I at that wedding?
Yes, you were.
Uh-oh. But here's the thing that Nuno just said that's fascinating on the wedding invites. Ooh. So if you work with somebody for 6 months, that doesn't mean you have to, like, if all of us were going to get married right now, right? That doesn't mean we have to invite each other because it's so early. Maybe we should.
It would be awkward if we didn't invite each other at this point, though.
I agree.
You think so?
Yeah, like if I was getting
married. Oh, you and I are
off the hook. If I was getting married this summer instead of 2 summers ago and I didn't invite you all to come to my wedding, that would be a red flag.
What if it's...
That would tell you how I really feel about you.
You should come to this side. We should just focus over there because we're off the hook on this one.
What I would obviously invite every member of our show to my wedding. However,
well, good, because I was just going to show up anyway.
Good, of course.
I was going to be there anyway.
Every member of the show?
Yeah, wedding, why not? I don't leave people out.
Will Ferrell.
You kick the door and like the Kool-Aid man.
No doubt. I'm in there.
Debris everywhere. So what if it's a destination wedding, though? Would you still want to be invited?
Yes.
What's the destination?
Let's say it's Italy. If
it's Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame like Hembo, then no, I don't want to be invited.
I just, sometimes if it's a destination wedding or you would have to travel, I think some people will get nervous to invite you. Like, I hope you don't feel obligated to have to spend all of this money to come to my wedding.
Yeah, so, you're just getting a gift at that point. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not going to your destination wedding.
But that gets you out of inviting everyone, or like, right, to be like, hey, I'm having this destination wedding, that type of thing. I also believe Javonte, like, so you don't have to show up. Like, I don't want you there, so don't show up.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's the polite way of, I guess for lack of a better term, filtering your guest list by being able to have a destination wedding where you know a lot of people can't get to it.
Totally.
So, like, if you want to cut down on the overhead, the money that you got to shell out for a wedding, do a destination wedding across borders. Because that's going to really limit who can make it.
The people who are going to be there really love you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, CeCe will be there.
Yeah, he will.
I will be there.
He just said he would be.
I will be there.
He just said he would be there.
I've been saying he's not
going
to be there.
But do you have any other social red flags? Because I got a list of a few.
I got one.
I got a list of a few.
My other one is if someone is rude to a waiter, that tells you all you need to know about them. Okay. A waiter or a waitress, that tells you everything you need to know about that person.
Okay.
Or a bad tipper.
Or a bad tipper is another good one.
I don't like the no thank you, no please and thank you person. Like, it's same kind of thing when you're with a waiter or waitress at a restaurant. Man, please have or thank you. Like, I do the thank you every single time the waiter or waitress comes over.
Okay. When you're with can I get a Coke? It's like, God,
hate that. That's awful.
Can I get a?
Yeah. May I please have? It's not that hard. Like, show some respect.
Okay. So here are my social red flags.
I wanna hear
here we
these.
Go. Let's run through the list. All right. Women with crooked wigs. Can't trust you. If your wig ain't all right, I can't trust you. I don't care if it's a lace front rig or a shake and go. If your wig is on crooked, I can't trust you. All right.
What if they're unaware though?
Huh?
What if they're unaware?
That makes it even worse. Like I said, if you have a crooked wig and you're not aware of it, that makes it worse. Here's the thing: if your wig is crooked, that means that the people around you, your folks, the ones that are supposed to hold you down, don't think enough of you to tell you that your wig is crooked.
It's like if no one tells you your fly's down.
Exactly. That's a bad zone. That's a bad look. Okay. Men who wear ties that land above their belly button. If you're tying a tie and your tie lands above your belly button, that's a problem. Dog, you ain't supposed to be wearing a tie that short. It clearly doesn't fit you. Why did you decide to leave the house like that? That's a problem. All right. People that have vanity license plates. Dog, what we doing? Like once you get out of high school, college, you don't need to have a vanity license. If you're a grown person with a vanity license plate, you need to reevaluate everything you're doing in life.
That's such a good
one. Okay, text go green. Like if somebody's got that green text bubble, yeah, that's a problem too. Android users, I'm looking at you. Don't mess up the group chat with your green text bubbles. I'm just saying that. All right, here's the other one, coup de grace. People that drive pickup trucks that don't work in construction, that don't have an outdoors lifestyle. If you're not an outdoorsman, if you don't work in construction, if you don't have a gardening business, why do you have a pickup truck?
Nah, you're wrong about this.
Why do you have a pickup truck?
You're wrong.
I just don't understand. Why
do you
have a pickup
truck? They're so
useful. What?
Okay. Do you have a truck?
Why?
I don't, but I know people who have, and I've utilized it many times in the past. They're very useful.
What if you're just a blue-collar guy? Like our buddy Emmett Golden, who's on at a night with Q Myers game night, ESPN Cleveland.
Yeah.
I've been in Emmett's car. Emmett drove a pickup truck for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a blue-collar Cleveland kind of guy, but he works in radio.
Yeah, okay. Did he do something before that warranted the pickup truck?
No, he got it once he got in radio.
He just has the pickup truck?
Yeah.
He just, well, I'm going to go with the pickup truck?
Yeah.
That's a choice. Listen, it's a choice. You can go with it. Nobody's saying it. It's a red flag for me, though.
And I think it was actually a red pickup truck, as a matter of fact.
Which is even a bigger red flag for me. It's a bigger red flag to me. I'm sorry.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.